We are that cool beach town, but we're definitely hitting the components to being the beach town. Because if we can do that, and then I can hopefully step in with the culinary, the amazing culinary squad we have here, we should be one of the top six destination places in the country. I mean, especially when it comes down to food. I mean, we have it all here, and not too many people talk about it. And there's a lot of people that have taught me that in my last years of that. It's like Virginia has it all.
It's a special place, not because of the walls or the weights or the decor, but because of the characters that hang out here. I'm Jake Waring, and my family has been empowering our community's journey to optimal health and fitness for generations. We are a family, and we help other families. And this is the pursuit of excellence, meaningful results, genuine connections, and having plenty of good laughs along the way. This podcast embodies all those principles. Join us each week as we share stories, insights, and tips that may help you reach your fullest potential in mind, body, and spirit. Welcome to the show, Kip.
Woo!
Kip Poole.
Yeah.
What's up? Valley Star. Well, how often do you sit?
Man, I think we were kind of touching on that earlier this morning, but I make sure I sit at like around 9, about 30 minutes before I go to bed, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I try to sit and have a sandwich because I feel like it's also important for my staff, like to see.
Like at Yorkies, yeah.
But it's hard. Like, it's hard. And it's not like I want to. I just want to kind of keep just going. And it just makes me, I don't know. I don't want to just subpar stuff. I just want to exceed.
Well, you just kind of brought this up a little bit. And that's why I'm kind of jumping into it. But, I was thinking about this last night. Man, I hardly sit down during the day.
Oh,
yeah. I'm moving every day. And I mean, I don't know how well this thing works, but I use this little Whoop tracker and tracks my steps. And I'm probably doing 20,000.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
A day.
And especially like with me, I never really even take a glance at it. But when, you know, for instance, Kristen, my wife, she just ran a marathon and she trained for it. And she was like, how many steps do you do? And I was like, I don't know if I want to tell you because like you just trained for a marathon and ran like 18 miles today. And I'm like, I'm pretty close to you. Like, and it's not like I'm trying to do any of this. It's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I just don't want to sit. And if I'm sitting, I'm trying to build a garden or I am meeting somebody to
driving somewhere
to meet someone about something to try to make this community even cooler.
Yeah. You're just kind of bouncing around kind of everywhere.
That's it.
And that's kind of where like, you know, as I start auditing how much I'm moving during the day, we think about like how rest, like your lifestyle starts to kind of reflect that. That's really the reason why I don't drink that much. It's just because I'm moving every day. And I know if I don't get enough sleep, then I'm like, poor and it trickles down to the next thing. And it's fun kind of when you're a little younger, but now you got a business, you're up and running, you have a lot of pressure
on
you.
Yeah. Like you're hitting it.
You just kind of have to like stop or slow down.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, I don't know if that was geared towards the question, where we're about to go to, but in the last year, I think that's kind of like dawned on me. I'm in the restaurant business and you know, what we were just saying, it's like after a 10-12 hour shift, it's just like, it's like a celebration. It's like you just won and you're on vacation, but you're only on vacation for like an hour because it's time to go to bed afterwards. So you're like, all right, well, I'm going to get a beer.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll have another beer. And then you're just like, all right, I got to go home because I have to be up early to do something. If it's to be on the line or to be at Restaurant Depot, which is a nightmare to me, you just always have to be fresh. And like right now, it's almost a game for me. It's like the less booze I drink, the better I feel and the better the business is. Like it's just the whole thing. So, I mean, we'll get into that later off the mic, but I just kind of want to just say goodbye to it and go to different things. If it's reading before bed, but I don't really do that. My wife does, but I do meditation. I listen to Calm. I do all that stuff to like to help my soul to keep going with this. But yeah, it's definitely one thing that you should get rid of, especially in the 40s.
Yeah. I recently started just sitting in silence without turning TV on.
Yeah.
And journaling too.
Yeah, like I read something that Tom Hardy says that, you know, like you won't ever be able to take away just like literally sitting in silence and eating your own snacks, like just sitting there by yourself and just like realizing how amazing that is. And it's like, has it taken Tom Hardy, this dude that I don't even can't even understand, to tell me that it's time for me to chill a little bit? But, you know, on that note of being able to chill, it's like, you know, with having Yorkies, like, I have a crazy awesome crew, and I think hiring them and getting them where they are now, it's allowing me to sit. Like yesterday I had off. I mean, kind of like I was at the restaurant at 6 a.m. and then again at 8:45 to talk to chef and then back to meet a guy to build.
Your off is different than other people's off.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But I, you know, managed to hang out with my mom to, you know, yesterday and grab a bite to eat with Kristen, did some awesome stuff with the community last night. You know, it was just it was a good day off. That's my day off.
And so quick, we just jumped right into it, but introduce you, Kip Poole, owner of Yorkies.
Yeah.
Modern Deli, reality star.
Oh gosh, star. Yeah. There was a couple of them. Yeah.
You are a, Crop Foundation.
Yep.
Right.
Director, president, I guess. That's really, like, I mean, I would think the most important. Of course, Yorkies is now the most important.
Yeah. To be, when did Yorkies open?
August 19th. So, like, we're approaching, I mean, we're in our ninth month right now, and it's cruising. It's cruising, but we're about to get to summer.
What's kind of the why behind Yorkies?
So, Yorkies, York is my real name.
Yeah.
Right? My dad's nickname, I'm the fourth. My dad's nickname was Yorkie in high school. Some people keep, you know, using the term Yorkies to them and whatnot. But at a very early age, I traveled with him any chance I could. Like week, if I wasn't playing soccer, I was traveling with my dad. My dad travels for a living. He still does. He shouldn't. The dude's like 75. But I went everywhere with him. Like it was Chicago, you know, Florida, like the weird little towns in Virginia near railroad, because he's in the railroad business. We went everywhere, and his job is, you know, it's definitely super important taking photos of like accidents and talking to people and everything. But I always kind of joked around by saying like his job was to handshake, give people handshakes and take them out to dinner and really be nice. And, I always just learned from him, and I went to some of the best restaurants in the world. Like I remember going to places in New Orleans and places in Chicago where I was eating this phenomenal food at the age of like 11, 12 years old. And I didn't really know what it was, but I would try to go back home and kind of recreate it for my mom, because my mom always wanted to stay home with the dogs and not come with us. So that kind of got me into it. And then my dad at an early age, it was just like, you know, you shouldn't do fine dining. You should do like a hot dog stand. And I'm like, no, Dad, I'm going to school for this. I'm going to school for hospitality, culinary. And like, I'm going to work at the best country clubs. I'm going to work at the best restaurants. And I did. And I loved it. And at the age of 25, I was like, I'm going to open up a tapas place, because it was really cool.
Yeah.
And that era. And then I was like, I'm going to open up a farm to table place. I'm like, come on, man. Like these days, farm to table should just be in every restaurant, right? It shouldn't be we have a farm to table restaurant. And then I was like, I'm going to open up a 5-course meal where people just buy tickets, when I was 35. And then the education thing got to me, and I was just like, man, I just want to teach kids. Like I want to show them how fucking cool culinary is, and like how to eat well. Like people don't know how to eat well because they don't know, right? So again, long story short, my dad was like, deli, hot dog stand, deli. And I'm like, all right, Dad, like I don't know, like, you know, blah blah blah, maybe later in life. And then I had the opportunity to go on this show on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life, but one of the judges, Will Gadara, I don't know, kind of took me under his, like, I don't know, just kind of pumped me up. Everything I did, everything I cooked, he was just like, wow, kids, education. Dan Levy was like, he was like, man, where were you when I was young? You know, what I was eating, what my dad was feeding me. And I really was just like, okay, so these people who put together this amazing show think this same thing, like, really made me realize. So I came back, I was driving around, I called my dad. I actually went on a trip with my dad to San Antonio because he was like, hey, you want to go with me? And I was like, would you help me? And he was like, yeah, as long as, you know, you put your name on it. And that really hit me. And it was like, what he meant was not to buy someone else's business and then move into it. Not literally, I want you to put my name on it. And, you know, after finding a spot, I looked at a couple spots and then I drove. I've always been a fan of that building, like this blank canvas. We threw an event there called.
What was it before? It's like a bait tackle shop.
It was a tackle shop. And then after that, it was Benevolent. Pat Ryan.
Oh, that's right. Place. Yeah, I forgot.
And I visited there and I was like talking with Pat and I was like, we should do an event here. And then, you know, Sam Clayman came and was like, we should do an event here.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a big.
It was epic.
Yeah.
So I pulled in there and I literally watched the traffic go and I counted the cars and I was like, dude, this is October. Like, what is it going to be during the summer? And I called my dad. I was like, are you ready? And he said, yeah, let's go. So, you know, after it had no name on it. And then I was just like, Yorkies. Like, Yorkies sounds kind of like a deli. I don't want to be a deli because I want to be so much more. And that is where modern deli comes into play, because people are like, what does modern deli mean? I'm like, well, come in and see. You know, it's not like, I don't want to sit there and explain it. It's yeah. Like, let's have soccer tournaments in the front yard. You know,
yeah.
Let's like close it out. Like this Saturday, we're doing a big barbecue, but it's for a private company. Like, but there's like going to be donkeys and shit walking around. Like, you know, that's not a deli, but that's a modern deli. Maybe, you know, in my words, but let's have students. Let's have 13, 14, 15 year old students learning in the kitchen while all this is going on. And they're like, wait, this is the business? So this is, you know, it's a lot more than just showing kids how to cook and everything. So that's why it's Yorkies. You know, my dad made it happen. My mom made it happen. My mom was a social worker and we just blended all together, cooked for her. My dad did all this stuff, went to school for it, learned how to be really nice.
Gotcha.
You know, that's a big thing.
So when you went on the HBO show, this was before you came up with the idea for Yorkies?
Yeah. So I was at Commune and loved it. Kevin, who was the owner back then, now Wilson, brought me on because I was the executive chef for Virginia Beach Public Schools. And I thought I landed it, like that job right there. I was the executive chef for Virginia Beach Public Schools, this massive school system where they wanted me to transform the cafeteria food to scratch food. Did that for a little bit. That's a whole story. But went to Commune and I was in love with the Greyhound station.
What's the Greyhound station?
So it's the bus station. And I walked by that all the time. I walked because I was down in Commune Norfolk, and I like between my breaks would be regular service and then we would do a wedding. So I had like an hour break. I would walk by that place and I remember I started a restaurant in Norfolk called the Big Easy, and the owners took the Greyhound neon sign from it. And I was always fascinated by that. And I was like, how dope would it be to turn this place into a market? Like this beautiful market that was ran by business owners / mentors. But what if they all had students that would come in and learn from them? So that's why I went on the show. Like I went on the show. I was like, if I win, I'm going to transfer, like do this. I was like, I was going to make this place a market, you know, but unfortunately I didn't win. And, you know, had some family stuff that,
what was the show about? Was it a competition?
It was a competition. But the members of the team, we really molded the show a little differently.
What was it called?
It was called the Big Brunch. Dan Levy was the host, and his idea behind it was to bring chefs not only who knew how to cook, but more so community chefs who had like a purpose of outside the restaurant. And I think I didn't want to do it at all because in 2016 I was on Guy's Grocery Games, and I love that, but it just took so much.
That?
It was Guy Fieri. I ran around a supermarket as a lunch lady. If you haven't seen it, you definitely should watch that.
I like that.
And I didn't want to be on that show, but I was a teacher at the time, and the judges the scouts were just like, "You want to be on this show?" And I was like, "I'll be on the show if you get one of my students to be on the show first." When I was teaching high school, and sure enough, they invited one of my students, and I was like, all right, now I'll do it. But I did it, and it was great, but it just took so much energy, and it took me out of my element. It took me, like, it's weeks of work, and it took me away of, like, working on what I was doing at the school at the time. And then, you know, this show, I was like, I don't want to do it. But my mom sent me the article and was like, it's Dan Levy. And I'm like, other than Schitt's Creek, I'm not sure like who he is, but I read up on him and he's just a fascinating human. And then I found out that Will Gadara was one of the judges. And right when we came on stage, I saw him. I was like, that's Will Gadara. And he owned the number one restaurant in the world. And his book, Unreasonable Hospitality, I'm not pitching.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Unreasonable Hospitality is like literally.
We have friends in the gym business reading that.
Oh, dude. Yeah. It's the Bible. It literally is the Bible. It should be the Bible for all business owners. And we go by it every day at work. But the show just like it wasn't a competition. And then what Dan and I guess his team saw is like we started helping each other out. You know, you don't see that on a show. It was more so like the Bake Show I don't watch those shows. People are just like, have you seen The Bear? Have you seen this? I'm like, no, I'd like. I don't sit down, you know, it was a beautiful thing. It was like, we all worked. Like the first episode was like, hey, all right. Now, you know, the team, show us where you're from. And they said, go. And that's where I started, you know, cooking pimento cheese or making pimento cheese and peanuts and oysters and things that we are known for. But if we were dragging our competitor beside us would stop what they were doing and help us. And like, I don't think that's where Dan was going. And people are just like, are they going to have another season? I was like, I don't think so, because I think people are going to recreate it to be, hey, I want to be, this person's really similar to Antoine, or this person's really similar to Jay. Like people are going to kind of go in but it was more so like it was like a movie. It's something I've never dealt with in my life, but it was a beautiful thing. And those were beautiful humans, and Will and Dan and Sola, they're all beautiful people. So like they definitely put me to the next chapter of my life is where I'm at now.
Well, you mentioned that being really tough. What was really tough about it? Was it just a lot of pressure?
Well, so this is kind of a big question, but again, I'll get to it. Very stressful, right? So it was right after COVID, and we had a quarantine for a week. So you are getting out of your element, which is here, very comfortable with where I'm from, where I'm, you know, what I'm doing here. And then I go to LA, and I'm not LA, although I did fall in love with LA. I didn't think I was going to, but then I go into a hotel and I can't leave like at all for a week, like room service for a week. I'm able to go on 20-minute walks with someone else, as in like the person that they hire to walk around the block. And then we have an exercise room, which would be the size of this. So it's not, it is at any means they treat you wrong. It was fantastic, but it clogs you. Like I didn't see the sun other than opening it up. So, and I didn't see people. And then the day happened, like the day that we were going to the set, we all met in the lobby, and it was like a fucking NFL game. Like everybody's got headphones in going down the hallway. And they're like, I remember Jay, little Jay from Asheville. She's just doing this to get in the movement. I'm over here. I'm just like taking the white hair from my dog off because I forgot to iron my shirt, making sure like, you know, my dog didn't chew my hat and all that kind of stuff. And I have headphones in and I you know, just trying to meditate and be like, okay, well, I'm here for something. I'm here for a reason. We all get in a van. Nothing's going, no one's saying anything. And then we go right on stage and like, it's Dan Levy, you know, like Dan Levy's pretty damn cool. Like right before that, I got a phone call from my daughter's school, saying there were some things going on with her. And then that clogged me. because my daughter is very, very important to me. So like before I had 50 cameras on me, I'm thinking if my daughter's okay. You know, a lot of people, especially like my parents, are like, it wasn't you on that show. It wasn't. But I didn't, you know, I didn't perform the best I ever performed because I had a lot of other things in my head. But, you know, there's always a path. And I was definitely on the path because like I met Dan, I met Will, I met that wonderful ass team that I had. And they put me on the path of where we're at. You know, I didn't get first place. I didn't get second, you know, second place. But I sure enough, like that shit was a roller coaster. Like our nerves were just like this constantly. But if I think we would all have heart attacks on that show if we didn't know each other and like we didn't like sincerely hug each other at the end of it and sincerely talk to each other across the hotel balcony. Once we started meeting each other, it seriously turned into a tribe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. I don't know if people kind of understand how, like, when you get that many cameras on you, you turn into a different person sometimes.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. And you're trying to put on a show. You're trying to like,
and then distract. I think one of the biggest causes of burnout in business is distraction.
Totally.
You know, when you're thinking about one thing, then all of a sudden something else comes in that's important. You have to pivot and you have to go there and you keep having to do that. And you know how it is sometimes when you just come up with multiple ideas and sometimes you burn yourself out.
I mean, I could literally point to anybody in my kitchen and then that's how they would explain my brain. And I've been burned out before.
Yeah.
You know, with all the big things I've done, I mean, people, when I was leaving commune, I got a phone call one day and was like, hey, would you want to help with a big festival / show for Pharrell Williams? And I was like, yeah.
I mean, like, I did that. I think I,
you did. Yeah. You did. It was called Elephant in a Room. And,
I think it was, they changed it to Mighty Dream.
I did that too. Like help with that. But Elephant in the Room, I feel
that
like you
the
were there.
First year.
Yeah.
And then the second year was they Mighty changed Dream. It to a Mighty Dream. Yeah.
And then Elephant in the Room, like, Robbie Wells called and said, can you want to do this? And he was like, I was like, yeah, let's do it. And he was like, yeah, but you got like 2 months. I'm like, phew. I was like, I'm saying, yes, let's talk to the restaurant owner, you know, at the time. And I was like, yeah. So, you know, doing something that hard while running restaurants, while trying to be a dad, while trying to be a husband, like,
yeah,
that's how you create burnout. Like burnout. Yeah. People say it's you're working overly, like too hard. You're too hard. And that's a thing that I've recently learned is like it's balance. Like, and it's taken me to be like I am 44 years old now and I am finally figuring out balance. Like I have to have it or.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be good for the business.
Yeah. We all have a certain amount of bandwidth.
Yeah.
That you can fill up and to do something at that level,
yeah,
it takes a lot of bandwidth because you have to focus on that one thing for so long. And if you have multiple things going on,
but my brain just doesn't, I mean, it doesn't cut off, but it's also, it just doesn't, I just don't want to stop, you know, like, because we don't know when our time is going to come and I don't want to cram everything in, but at the same time I do, you know, like this community, I mean, like, what your family has done for this area. It's like, I want to do that with the fellow restaurateurs around here. Like I'm not here to be another restaurant. Yeah. I don't know if my partners would be okay with me saying that, but it's just, we are so much more than a restaurant.
Yeah. And I mean, do you think putting your name on something gives it a different standard?
Oh, hell yeah.
Cause that's something we feel a lot of times too
with
our name on the building.
This is my son. I mean, you know, like if I were to get really into it and
that's what your dad said to you too, right?
That's what he said. But I mean, you know, you also have to think it's, if I don't have another child in this life, I hope to have a lot more children with this business. I mean, this has my name on it. So, you know, God forbid I don't have a York Pool the Fifth to take this down. I'm not getting any old or any younger, but my wife's still super young. So, you know, hope the day still comes, but York's back on the building. So that's York the Fifth right there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to hopefully keep going and going. Now, I don't want to become McDonald's. I don't even want to become you know, a place that has four or five places. Like, if I could have one in the Outer Banks and have a successful bigger one here in Virginia Beach, where it can be more heavily suited to the students and the Crop Foundation and community, and then literally have a sandwich shack in the Outer Banks, like, I have done my job. Like, that is, I'll be very happy with that.
Are you tired of feeling sluggish, out of shape, and unmotivated? Introducing Xrcize, the all-natural solution for boosting energy, building strength, and improving mood. Now available anytime at Waring's Gym. Xrcize is a fast-acting, non-prescription solution, clinically proven to reduce stress, improve cardiovascular health, and sculpt your body, all with just 30 minutes a day. Side effects of Xrcize may include increased muscle mass, enhanced mood, boosted self-confidence, and a stronger heart. In some cases, users may experience the desire to wear smaller jeans and post-workout selfies. Talk to your loved one today to see if Xrcize at Waring's Gym is right for you. Join now and take the first step toward a stronger, healthier you.
So you just kind of mentioned that. Tell me a little bit about the Crop Foundation, because that's something that you started
10 years ago. And that's insane. So Crop never stood for anything, but it ended up being, after like 8 years, I was like, man, we're really creating opportunities. I was like, well, shit, that makes sense. Create opportunities, capital C, capital R.
How'd you start it?
Outside of Philly. I was in Wilmington, Delaware as a teacher, and I was at a Title I school, and this school was it was William Penn, but AKA William Penitentiary. And this, like, people were like, you do not want to go work there. And I'm like, why? I was like, these kids are awful. I'm like, dude, there is no such thing as an awful kid. There's no such thing. So I went there and loved it. Like, the president, or not the president, principal and the superintendent interviewed me, and they're like, all right. They tried to stump me and try to ask me like these food questions. I was like, we have 100 people and you're trying to fancy them. And what would you cook? And they don't know anything about food, but I just blew them away with that question. Cause I mean, at the time I was a chef, so that's what I could do. But I just got my master's in education because I wanted to be a fourth or fifth grade teacher. Like, I was like, I'm done with this industry. I can't do anything, but I want to help. So I started teaching culinary at the school called William Penn, AKA William Penitentiary. I took it from 40 students to over 400 students. Students would straggling, like, at the bell would ring, like, my bags on, ready to go home, and students would start coming in my kitchen. I'm like, why are you guys here? I'd like to make a cake, or I'd like to try this. So all these students who didn't want to go home because they didn't have anything good at home stayed in my kitchen. And I was like, this means something. So every day my shifts, of course, turned in from 8 hours to 12 hours because these students did not want to go home. And I was like, we could be a catering business. Students could do all this. And then they did. And then we would start throwing parties in abandoned buildings. And we had a barn on our property near our farm. It's a beautiful place. And I was like, we should raise some money for this. So we raised money, gave it all towards the students' education to do the next one. And I was like, this is something. I'm going to start a nonprofit. I mean, I had students who, like, their pants were down to their ankles, but they would, every morning, they would love to go get the tomatoes or the eggs from the chickens. And they're just, pants are down to their ankles, but they're just so happy. I'm just like, dude, this is so awesome. Like, I'm really changing the way they see this. So I started Crop, and then everything I raise, I would donate to them. So the first student, we sent her to Johnson & Wales. Now she has her own vegan restaurant / business, and it's very successful outside of Philly. Second year, raised money. We gave it to 3 students. One is working at Brigade, which is scratch cooking chef in San Diego. He's out there. You know, I could keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
10 years of this. So like these students that would, this one girl used to pay rent to her family. And she was a junior and sophomore in high school, paid rent to her family and had to work. Now she's like head of human resources at the Ritz-Carlton in Miami. you know, and she had like nothing. And when I say nothing, it's just like she didn't have any support.
Yeah.
And I saw that if I just kind of pushed them a little bit, they would continue the way. So I would give like $5,000 to a student to go to Johnson & Wales or CIA or whatever. And then they were like, I got to drop out. I got to drop out because I can't afford them. So I was like, yeah, and you can't afford it, but you can figure it out. And they would figure it out. So that's how Crop kind of started. And then it kind of just evolved into like not just culinary school, but hey, I'm going to push you towards this. I'm like, do you not like culinary? Like maybe you can do graphic design or this. And we've got a lot of students under our belt now.
I was going to say, because there's so many different ways you can go with food. I guess
every way.
Food is really a vehicle for community and connection.
It's literally the vehicle. It's the only thing that, you know, is centered around the table. Right. You put food in the middle of the table. People are going to go around it. And that's where discussions happen.
And there's some people, too, that I think that probably don't get any maybe appreciation. And when somebody brings you food, offers you something.
Yeah,
man, I'm so thankful when I go to your restaurant and you guys make me food.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, this is great. You guys just made me this. Like,
yeah.
I end up having to make it all.
Yeah.
Myself all the time, but there's a little bit of gratitude that comes along with that too. Oh,
absolutely. Like, I mean, I talk about this every day, but I don't do any cooking at home. And like my wife will put together something and she's like, I didn't do anything. I was like, yes, you did. Like you fed me. And then like, I take that so much further, you know, it's just like, you know, she might've just heated up some Brussels sprouts and threw it in some rice and, you know, added some chicken sausage. But to me, you're feeding me, you're giving me the time to just chill, you know, and think about so much more. And that's so much more is like the community. I mean, like, I do a lot with the community, but I do it so other people can succeed as well. So it's like last week I had SeaTac's Breakfast Club students come over. I've been working with them for years. It is a set of students that literally come early before school and they garden and they talk to plants. They read to plants. They're involved with plants but basically turn them around and they're different humans because of that. And then they came over to Yorkies and they did the same thing, but they had this canvas of like actually taking the vegetables and going in the kitchen and producing something with it. That's art. Like they're just like, wait, we can grow them. We can grow vegetables and then we can eat them. And I'm like, not only are you eating them, this is the best state possible that you can. And they don't understand that. And a lot of people don't understand that. It's like, you know, healthy cooking can be cool as shit. Like it really can be.
Well, yeah, that's where, you know, I think there's definitely a misconception that healthy food doesn't taste good.
Oh, yeah. That's just bullshit. It's time. It's time and knowledge. And, you know, I like when I was at Commune Norfolk, we would do these dope ass like cooking classes for local communities, for Next Steps to Success, Teens with Purpose, these great organizations in Norfolk. And they would come in and I would show them like a rutabaga and turnips. And they're just like, what is this? Like, I don't want to eat that. And there's like greens all over the table. And we would cook pounds and pounds of it, right? And they're like, why are we cooking this? I was like, well, it's a cooking class. Like, we're showing you how to do small dice and medium dice and cooking with vegetables and all that stuff. And then at the end of it, we cooked it. And I was like, I decided to make you guys like home fries. And it was rutabaga and turnips, and they put sauce on top of it and they were just eating it. They're like, yes, like this is so good. Thank you. Like, what did you do with all the other vegetables? I was like, well, you're eating those. That's actually turnips and rutabaga. But the coolest thing is we're about to package all of that up and we're about to deliver it to the homeless shelter. So these students not only learned how to cook with healthy food, They learned the skills around it, and they served another purpose. And so these students who need an extra lift saw that you can do this. And I put it all in my car. We went over to the budget inn beside the Burger King and unloaded it. And we fed 100 people with turnips and rutabaga.
Yeah.
All by students. So it's like, these are these 360 things that we're trying to create. And that's what we're trying to create at Yorkies as well. When it comes down to food waste, that's going to Dristy to, that's now compost, but it's put in our garden. And then we're taking that and then we're teaching how to use it. And then it's going in the community. Like, yeah. Why?
That was the coolest thing about when I had Go Juice and I was a little more active with Drishti. Yeah, it's just the full circle of everything and just being more efficient with our food. I just like it just because it's.
Yeah. I mean, we're about to use Tide Water Compost.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be there last week, but they're building us a bin for all of our food waste. And I was like, you know, how cool would it be if we had our bin, but they're building another bin for the community. So we're going to be able to, it'll be a place to put all our food waste in a bin.
Yeah.
They'll take it, deliver it to Dristy.
That was the toughest part about when Lily and I first started doing it.
Yeah.
It made sense. We would just, you know, you put your, instead of putting your trash here, you put it right here. And, but then we had these bins filled with
plastic. Rubber bands.
Even when I did the Mighty Dream, we composted. I was climbing through dumpsters trying to pull all the plastic out. And it's a dirty job.
It's a dirty job. It's also comprehension. You know, like we will get there. We're going to start very small. You know, like I'm going to literally say all of our onion trimmings and all of our, you know, celery carrots will go in here first. But we'll get there. I mean, our planet is recycling now. You know, Kristen was telling me that New York is now doing food waste in Brooklyn. And I'm like, well, how do you do that when the streets have plastic everywhere on the streets? It's just like, you know, maybe that's a little too fast, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it just unfortunately takes time. And this is 2025, right? I mean, things take time. You know, I can't go into like, well, there's dinosaurs and then there's skyscrapers and all this shit. Like, that is all taking time. There will be a day that this is going to make sense.
Hey, this might be a little off the record conversation, but what's the difficulty with meal prep?
It's impossible. I mean, for me, for people, well, you know,
it's impossible.
Yeah, no, I'll take all that back. It's not impossible, but it's that time thing, right? So meal prep, let's slowly go back to like just personally me.
Mm-hmm.
I should have meals every day. Another thing, Kristen yells at me. I'll have a power bar of some sort, protein bar in the morning and a cup of coffee, and I'll forget to eat. Like, her mom, thankful that we have her, bring so many leftovers to the house. So last week it was chicken noodle soup. And I know you're going to listen to this, Kristen, but I brought the chicken noodle soup to work to eat. And I didn't eat it. Like, it was time, but I didn't waste it because we get a good amount of homeless people that come in and they're like, you have any leftovers? And I'm doing my side thing with them, I promise, but you can't do so much. Like, if you give them a free sandwich, they're just going to come back and come back. And I'd love helping, but I promise you we're helping them in other ways. But I was like, I got some chicken noodle soup, bud. I was like, and I gave him my chicken noodle soup. So that's my meal prep. I'm kind of just giving it right now, but it's possible. I talk about it probably monthly to Kristen about it, about like Sundays, because Sundays I'm going to be off. Like, let's go to the store. Like, all we got to do is saute some vegetables, grill some chicken, make some rice, put it in all different containers and grab what you need to go. I've also worked with organizations who have asked me to meal plan for them. I've worked with schools to do meal planning, like building meals for the schools. So it's one of those things that I would love to work on, but I've been saying a word a lot lately, and it's priorities. And priorities right now is Yorkie's summertime crop. But I would love to start doing meal planning and assisting meal planning in our community as well, like teaching people coming in, because we do a lot of cooking classes.
Yeah.
So let's do a class on meal planning. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Well, just also from like a healthy living standpoint, too. You know, I want to eat healthy food.
Yeah.
Whole foods. But, you know, I don't have a lot of time in the day.
Right.
So having something that's more efficient that I can grab, and that's why I come in all the time and
yeah,
grab. You always give me a hard time for grabbing cold sandwiches
because it's ready.
Yeah,
but that makes us. I mean, we just hired somebody who we're kind of letting her explore her mm-hmm. ways on, like, you know, how dope would it be to not just have a sandwich? You know, like come in and have a meal. You know, like beans, rice, local vegetables, and like I bet you would grab that over a sandwich.
Yeah.
So we're gearing towards yeah. that. But it's again, it's one of those things. Like right now, it's like I have to master this, and then we're going to go into this. But that is a super important thing. I am definitely guilty of not doing it. Personally. I know that, you know,
yeah, I could do it myself. Oh, too,
it's just tough. Like, it's just tough because my day off normally starts with me running errands and then falling into doing work on the computer these days. And again, I blame myself for that. And I'm going to get better, but that's another thing. Like, we need to get better at it. We need to take time to eat healthier, and it's not just go to Whole Foods and get lettuce. Like it's literally,
yeah, don't, it's not eating less, it's eating yeah, better.
It's eating better. And I am guilty. I'm the one who is guilty of this, but it's because of the timing.
I'm actually, if you look at my stats, 20,000 steps, I'm almost, I need more calories.
I know. And it's great. And I mean, I spent a lot of time at your juice spot because I would always go there and be like, okay, well, he knows what he's doing. Like, you know, that protein, those that peanut butter on top of this and stuff. Like, I bet I was there, you know, every other day eating because it was kind of like my way of thinking that I was eating better. So, you know, I think Yorkies can help with that for sure.
Well, that was the intention of opening up Go Juice back in the day, was that, I mean, there's pizza places and Taco yeah. Bells open up on every corner, but there wasn't a lot of restaurants that were incorporating real foods,
yes.
which it's something you're doing as well too. Actually, I think probably the reason why I opened it was I had this dream of, you know, during COVID, I was doing two really important things. I was having coffee every morning with my dad, and then I was walking yep. every day with my mom.
Yeah.
And I just, for some reason, I had this dream about opening up Go Juice and just being like, oh, I can be more efficient. I can help our community. I can make like healthy stuff. It just, it's more available to me, and I can have coffee yeah. with my dad.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is you had the time, and you made the time to do that. And like, I mean, I don't know how to even talk about COVID in a good way, but like it made us slow down, and like people were baking sourdough. Like I bet everybody became an artisanal baker during COVID.
I was probably the healthiest I've ever been during COVID. Yeah. I mean, I was working out every day, moving, yeah. like surfing.
I mean, and so like that's me when like everything has a path. Like it was an awful fucking thing, like awful. Mm-hmm. But it slowed down a lot of people. People figured out what they wanted to be, you know, during that time. I quit my job, you know, as the executive chef for Virginia Beach during that time. Because I just wanted to do so much more. Like, I know I was doing a lot at Virginia Beach, but I didn't want any holdbacks. And I think that's what COVID did for me. It was just like, I just want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then now that I have my own spot, it's like, talking about meal planning, I mean, again, that just makes me go right back to the restaurant right now, talk to my new girl, Heidi, and say, let's get a meal planning class on the books, you know? And that's what's so great about the community is like,
yeah.
we're all about it. You know, I've lived in small little areas all like, I mean, I've lived in Blacksburg, which I loved, you know, for so long. And I lived in Wilmington, Delaware, which was a small little place, and worked, you know, in Philly and all that stuff. But this community that we have here is so amazing. And that's another reason why it says Yorkies on the door, because all the stuff that I was doing up north, my dad was like, when are you going to do it in your hometown? Mm-hmm. Like, when are you going to do it in the 757? And that really touched me. And that was like, let's bring the crop home. Let's show the world that eating can be cool, you know, and not just a Taco Bell. And that's probably a bad example, because if I eat fast food ever in a month, it's probably Taco Bell. I don't eat any fast food, but Taco Bell just has that. That's like my vice. It's like after a 17-hour shift, I'm just like, I'm going to Taco Bell.
Well, let me ask you this. What was the hardest lesson that you've learned opening up Yorkies?
To slow down.
Slow down?
Yeah. Why would you slow down right now? And I have been reading, listening to a lot of books because I don't sit. So I have found that I go on very long walks lately. Like I could walk for days, and we live in a wonderful place. Like we could be in the woods for miles and not see anybody. And then we walk to the boardwalk and we see everybody. And it's a story that's going on in your head. So walking around here is amazing. And it has taught me to slow down. And I'm not doing it very well right now, but I think that's the hardest thing that I'm learning, because I'm not going to say I'm getting older. It's just allow the people that you have welcomed into your dream to help you with it. And that's what I'm trying to do. Is I have this wonderful team. I have a wonderful family. Allow them to help with it. And I just want them to kind of push their limits on things that they've wanted to do. Like I'm talking about my staff here. Like, you know, again, I'll give you a few examples. Like Tyler from Pilgrim Bread is my chef. He's never been a chef before. He's been a baker, but I'm like, dude, you can do this. I was like, and if you're not doing it just for me, you're doing it to get better for your business in the future. And he's like, he always just like, yeah, but we're Yorkies now. We're Yorkies now. I was like, we are Yorkies, man. But like, you need to push yourself. And then my managers, Alana and Brianna, are the same situation. It was just like, what do you want to do? Like, you have a blank canvas here. So do it, like try it out. And that's with all my younger staff, my 13-year-old who has never worked a day in their life, you know, all that kind of stuff. But with allowing them to do this and push this, then that allows me to slow down. And like, yeah, I love Yorkies. Yes, I know I need to be there, but I don't need to be there with a wonderful team. So the hardest thing that I've learned from this is to slow down. Like I have to slow down.
Yeah. And that's a lesson too for them. It's they do have this blank canvas, and it's a lot easier to take ownership of something where they don't have as much pressure. It builds up that a little bit of experience with them, so they can go on eventually and do something great. But it takes time to do that. If somebody were to, you know, I've seen people forward just go, I can do it better, and go open up something else. And you're overwhelmed with all the, you know, people and the trainers go open up a gym, and first thing you realize is you don't get to work out all the time. You have to work with other people.
Right.
Same thing with opening a restaurant is you're doing all the books and all that stuff that you don't. That's not what you got into the business for. So
with the slowing down, it allows me to, let's just, again, how we live our life. We've been talking about 360, right? So like slowing down means for me to sit. Am I sitting? Yes. But am I working? Am I working on the next thing? Am I working on how to get more kids playing soccer in the front of my building, you know, at nighttime, so we know where those kids are at? I mean, that's kind of like how Crop happened as well. It's like, I got to a point that it's organic. And I knew that these kids were with me and not on the streets, but like now it's coming back. Like, you know, like let's get soccer bigger in front of Yorkies.
Can you get like an organic sign up there? Like a certified organic?
The thing is like, even that with like Organic Beginnings at school, like we're chatting with them about doing cooking classes. Like
that's cool.
Organic, you know, that it's supposed to be this way. So, you know, and that's the cool thing about, again.
Well, I know our members would want meal prep too. Yeah. I mean, it's something that
easy. This is organic. This is how it's happening. So like we are now doing meal plan. Okay. Stay tuned. Doing meal planning at Yorkies. But I want people to come to us with all their hopes and dreams and try it. Again, that's how Crop happened. It was like, I would give a student the ability to do anything that they wanted. And they're like, you know what? Let's find an abandoned building in the city and play saxophones and give everybody a password. And they would hear the saxophone, get out of their car, follow the saxophone, and then knock on the door with the password. And it would be a huge party. That wasn't my idea. That was a 17-year-old's. And then when everything at the end of the night, I was like, holy shit, that was awesome. Like a 17-year-old did that. So I don't have to do it all. I can just kind of welcome people.
You're just the bridge.
Welcome people to draw on my canvas.
So what was this past weekend? You did a soccer tournament? It was street soccer?
I didn't do anything. It was great. So Sasha, his brother from Mercy Football, and Dupe, they put together this beautiful thing. They work with students a lot. And like, of course, I gravitate to that because I just love, pushing our youth to the right direction. And I've worked with them in a couple other scenarios. And I visited with them at this big thing that they did at the Vail years ago. And I remember going to the Vail because they did the same thing at the Vail. And my nephew at the time was probably like 14, 15. And he was glued to the fence, like glued to it. You have a 14-year-old who's normally like this, was glued to activity, right? And so I was like, dude, you should go out there. And sure enough, he's like, hold my phone. Boom. Like, we did it. I didn't do it. They did it. So I've always just kind of chatted with them. And then Sasha came and was like, what if we could do it right here? I was like, no ifs, ands, or buts. I'm not like, will the city be okay with it? What about parking? I said, let's do it. Because I'm also kind of like tired of like meetings. I'm tired of like sitting down with people and be like, we should do this. Like, then do it.
I've been kind of like studying like texting culture. And you're an interesting texter because it's very, one sentence, question mark, let's answer, let's go meet, or let's go, let's figure it out. And let's create action. But there's so much.
Yeah.
You know,
I learned that from Kevin Jameson, who used to own Commune. And I go side subject is I needed, my daughter lives up north still. And I was like, I told him when he hired me, I was like, I need 2 days off in a row. And he was like, you can have 30 days off in a row, make it happen. And it's kind of the same, like, I just learned that from him. And then he would always like sit down on the couch and I'm like, man, we should do this. He was like, took out his phone and would just like do this. He was like, all right, we're cool. Like, he would just make things happen. And I was like, I that's definitely something I've learned from him. And it's not like we don't have time, but with this podcast, this kind of happened in to like 12 hours. Yeah. It was just like, I want to do it. I'd love to do it, but I work at 9, as long as we can do it before 9, but like, let's wake up early, get a cup of coffee. Let's get it done because it's organic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For people just listening, if you check out Yorkies.com, I mean, Yorkies Instagram, you can see the street soccer. I think it's a such a cool visual.
Yeah. And they put lights up.
It's awesome that you're doing like, it's a sporting event in front of a restaurant.
Yep.
I saw that and I was like, this is so cool.
And it they did it beautifully. And you can tell that they want to do it because.
Yeah, I know Duke too. His passion is.
Oh, dude, he was on the mic, like just talking about Yorkies. Like every time I walk through, because I was like smoking pastrami's on the like way in and way out. Like it was just beautiful. It's people who absolutely love what they do. Like if you absolutely love what you do, like come join the party at Yorkies and let's do something together because that is what it's all about. I mean, it is about partnership. It is about community. And I know people out there are tired of hearing me say community, man, but like it has to be this way. I just wanted to be a small part of this Pleasantville that we have here in Virginia Beach.
And I know you got to run here a second, but the dome just opened up, which was super cool. It's right in our backyard.
Floored when I went in the other day.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's a premier music venue spot opened up by Pharrell and multiple people. The cool thing is walking back, I parked in an undisclosed location. Yeah. I don't want to tell people my parking spaces, but man, the town was just lively.
It was.
And all the restaurants were filled up. So something like that that comes to our town,
when we had Zoo, when Sam came to me, Zoo was like one of his babies and was like, can we do it at Yorkies? Yorkies was nothing. Like it literally like people were like peeing in bushes and shit. No lights on in the back. It was crazy, but it was people were running into each other. And was like, man, I haven't seen you since middle school, dude.
Yeah.
Where have you been? It was, we created this new thing. right? And then at Yorkies on Friday night before the dome thing, people were coming in. The garage door was open. The music was flaring. I was like, what are you doing here? I was like, dude, I heard you opened up a place and we're walking over to the dome. I end up walking over to the dome with friends of mine from middle school to people that I've met through Pharrell, like an organization that we're kind of doing some stuff for the community. And just like friends of mine from high school and friends of mine from here. And like everyone's walking in different directions. And like, I feel like we're in California, like a little beach town. And it's not, I don't want to say we're becoming that, because we are that, right? We already are that cool, a cool beach town. But we're definitely hitting the components to being the beach town, because if we can do that, and then I can hopefully step in with the culinary, the amazing culinary squad we have here, we should be one of the top six destination places in the country. I mean, especially when it comes down to food. I mean, we have it all here, and not too many people talk about it. And there's a lot of people that have taught me that in my last years of that. It's like Virginia has it all, from the cuisine in Franklin to the oysters we pull out to, you know, the produce in Pungo. We literally have it all. And then we add all of this dome, this beachfront stuff. We should be top six destination places in the country.
Yeah. I remember that zoo event. It was really cool. And yeah, I feel like that was a little bit of the catalyst of everything.
Yeah, I do too.
Started. Yeah. I think I texted Sam right afterwards. I didn't feel that, that much excitement since, I haven't felt that much since maybe, Chase Pittman passed away.
Yeah. Well, he was a big part of this community too.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah. I'm excited to see more. So I guess we got more stuff like street soccer coming.
We're doing it all. We got concert, like little shows coming up. We got a lot of cooking classes coming up. We have a new menu that hit last week. A lot of healthier versions coming to the team. You know, a lot more vegetables coming to the market. New team members bringing some new stuff. So it's like, you have an idea, we're here, we're helping with Jackalope, we're helping with Logstradamus, we're helping with every little thing that's happening around here.
Cool.
Yeah, stay tuned. You're putting some stuff together called, you'll hear about it. It's called ACE. Stay tuned about ACE. Stay tuned.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thanks, Kit, for coming on. Oh, I appreciate it.
Thank you for being a part of this community. I mean, you, like, one day I'll be interviewing you, because I mean, what you and your family have done here is the whole center of this community. And I can't thank you for having me here.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, check out Kip, Yorkies.
Please do.
Modern Deli, and I'll let you get to work, because I know you got a busy schedule today.
Yep. On the way.
Okay, that's it for today. Thank you all for joining us on today's journey. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and check us out at wearingsgem.com. Also, I would love to hear your feedback, questions, and any topic that you would like to hear more about. Feel free to email me. My email is jake@wearingsgem.com. See you all next time.